Summer is right around the corner, and make it your best season yet with nutritious 2-minute meals from Factor. Eating well has never been this easy. All you need to do is heat it up and enjoy, giving you more time to do what you want. Get outside instead of prepping and cooking indoors. Factor meals arrive fresh and ready to eat, perfect for any active lifestyle. I've been absolutely loving my Factor meals. I have so many options to choose from, and they all are nutritious and healthy and so easy to heat up and eat. Factor powers your day with satisfying breakfasts, on-the-go lunches, premium dinners, and guilt-free snacks and desserts. So it's easy to savor more this season because Factor meals pack in the flavor with none of the fuss. So get started at factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50off and use code barbknowsbest50off to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. That's code barbknowsbest50off at factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50off for 50% off plus free shipping.
Live on DAZN Worldwide.
Saudi Arabia.
Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern. Canelo versus Skull. The King stakes his legacy once more for the undisputed crown. Standing in his way is Warrior Skull, undefeated and poised to decimate the division on a knockout weekend of boxing.
Let's make history.
Get Canelo versus Skull, Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern, live exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to Life Happens. This episode is all about what it takes to have those hard conversations, the ones that can feel uncomfortable and even scary, especially with the people you love the most. My mom and I recently found ourselves in one of those moments. It brought up a ton of fear, old patterns, miscommunication, judgment, all of the things. But we worked through it with honesty, space, and love, and somehow it brought us even closer. If you've ever felt that tension in a relationship and weren't really sure how to move through it, this episode will really speak to you. We are so glad you're here. Hey, Mom. I'm really excited to be with you today, chatting about a really great topic that I think is super timely, as always. But how's it going? How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And you're right, it is very super timely.
You're looking very fresh and chipper.
Thank you. I feel it.
Yeah, it's so good. So diving right in, I think we kind of wanted to address maybe like the elephant in the room of like life and society that I think all of us are facing in one way or another, no matter where we are, no matter what our circumstances are. I feel like this dynamic is prevalent for so many of us. And you and I have been facing it lately in our personal life and even in work life too. And we've struggled with how to deal with it. And I think if we're struggling, that might mean that some of our friends out there, our listeners, our viewers are struggling. And so we wanted to tackle it. And that's really diving into the disagreements that we're facing in life right now. The divide, you know, I think we hear often, the divide is bigger now more than ever. We've heard that. And the separation and the gap that feels like is between us is so prevalent right now. And I really wanted to have a conversation with you about bridging the gap, bridging the divide, and how we can really strengthen our relationships in times like these. Because I think it's so easy to disagree, have a conflict, and just throw the relationship to the side. You know, they're not for me. They don't understand me. They don't like me. I'm done. And in some cases, that might be necessary. That might be the aligned choice, but how can we start to work on our relationships when you do want to maintain them, when you want to keep them around, but there's some complications? I'm excited to talk about that because it's not like the prettiest, you know, conversation to have, but I think it's important. And I know you and I have had a lot of really juicy insights lately about it.
We have, and I like the way you framed this because for me lately, it does feel like there's one way or another way.
My way or the highway?
Yeah, or even, you know, there's the difficulty or the differences of opinion or the differences of thoughts or values or whatever it is. And then there's the, oh my gosh, cannot have anything to do with this, can't have that hard conversation. I need to just ignore it.
Yeah.
Or I need to separate myself from it. Yeah. When actually I feel like what you and I've been talking about quite a bit is there's another middle way. There's another middle path. We can kind of come to the middle, and how can we have those hard conversations? Because actually, I think with the way the energy feels today in our environment and in our world and work and family relationships and all of it, it feels like things are just too hard. And I think I've said that to you over the past few months.
Yeah.
You know, where I've been exasperated, or when something hasn't gone right, and I've almost been on the verge sometimes of tears, and you'll say, Mom, what's the matter with you? And I'll just say, it's just all too hard.
Yeah.
It's just all too hard. So how do we, and what I'm loving about this conversation today, how do we have that hard conversation? And maybe it doesn't happen instantly. And I think that's the thing. I'm always going to talk about giving ourselves grace.
Yeah.
And giving ourselves a little bit of a break. I don't feel like having the hard conversation now. So that doesn't make me a bad person. That doesn't make me someone who's trying to abandon things.
Right.
It just means I need some space.
I think that's a really great point. And it's so nuanced and so layered as far as relationships and how we communicate with each other. But I think, of course, we're going to dive into this in our conversation, but just to start off on that, we're so fast-paced in our society. We're so, you know, we want immediate results. We want, you know, immediate impact. And when we're in disagreements with people, when we feel conflict arising, or even just tension within a relationship, or even at work or with friends or anyone, just even a stranger on the street, you know, our first instinct is that we have to act on it right now. Otherwise, we're bypassing it or avoiding it or not, you know, tackling something head on. And I really think that's an important point that you're bringing up now, of you can approach a conflict with grace and with space, and in a place and time that will bring forth the solutions that you're looking for. And again, it's nuanced, but I'm really excited to talk about that because it's so fascinating. You're a huge research junkie. You love stats and science, and I do too, but I love seeing you get lit up by facts. And I love when we find studies and research and data that kind of supports what we already know to be true in our lived experience. And I was fascinated and floored that 1/4 or 1 out of 4 adults are estranged from a parent.
Yeah. Or,
and then I think you could even take that, you know, 1 out of 4 people are estranged or have a, you know, divide from a major person in their lives. We're commonly in a room with at least 4 people. So it's common, basically. And hey, I'm in that boat too. I mean, we talk often, and this is a huge crux of this conversation, that you and I are all we have left. I'm estranged from, well, one parent is passed, and I'm estranged from the other remaining parent. And so thinking about that, that we're just so not seeing eye to eye with people, and the solutions feel very sparse. And I'd really love to hear how you feel about that statistic and really what you think is the root cause of it.
Wow.
Sorry.
No,
it's really set you up with a big question.
No, it's big because it's so true and it's so real.
Yeah.
It is actually absolutely happening today.
Can I say something really quickly? What's crazy to me about that stat is, like, when I was growing up, you and my dad got divorced when I was 3. You got remarried when I was around 5. And now you're recently divorced within the past couple of years again. But in your first divorce, it seemed like divorce was more taboo or not as common. And so I felt like a little bit like, oh, I'm different than everyone else. This isn't the normal, you know, quote unquote thing. And to now really hear that stat and to realize that, you know, the estrangement or being separated from a parent or a strong relationship in your life isn't necessarily divorce. It's like divorce. Like, severe breaks in major relationships in our lives are now the norm, it seems, rather than the exception to the rule. And I just, you know, I'm late 30s. And it feels like that shift has happened quite fast in my lifetime. And so it's just wild for me even to think about it right now, processing, sitting like, wow, our society and the way that we handle and tackle relationships has changed so much in such a short period of time.
I think that's true. And I also think, though, that part of it has maybe been built up over the years, over the decades, or over the years, and it's also generational.
Yeah.
And it's also the way we perceive things like divorce being not okay or being taboo. And, you know, today it's more acceptable, actually. But it's still thought of as a failure.
Right.
It's still described as, oh my gosh, something went wrong. It's a failure. So I say all of that in the most kindest light, in that we're always so quick to separate. In my mind, and I think having had a meditation and mindfulness practice for 40 years, we're not always looking for separation. We need to also try to find the common ground, or how can we, especially in the relationships that matter, like you say, one in four, you know, it's a mother-daughter like us, or right. it's a family, or it's someone that you really love and are very close to. And we really fit that bill very, very much with my family, with your family, you know, with my divorce. So it's how can we actually look at what relationships are causing the trauma and the hurt and the harm.
Yeah.
That we need the strong boundaries and we need to have the separation from. And then how can we look at the ones where they don't include those things, but we're wanting to separate because we don't want to have the hard conversation. And I think that's what I'm excited about, because, and I say all this because I had a feeling, we had a situation happen recently.
Can I ask you something really quickly?
Sure.
You mentioned you think we're also quick to separate. Why do you think that that's our default? Because and just thinking about how we talk about relationships as a society and even just growing up, it feels like it's ingrained in us to, you know, we've talked about this in past episodes, blood is thicker than water, family is everything, you mm-hmm. have to stay together. If you break a relationship, friends, family, or otherwise, it's a failure. And so why do you think now in this time and space, it's not the default to, I have to figure out how to make this work, even if it's not healthy, it's now flee and separate?
Because life is too hard.
Yeah.
I just think, I know that you and I had a situation and I came home and you said, what's the matter with you? And I said, Michelle, everything's just too hard.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with feeling that way. I think this conversation is so layered because it has so many elements to the feelings. We're not comfortable feeling our feelings. Life is too hard right now. So I just don't want to talk to you. And I don't want to talk to you because I don't want to have the hard conversation. One, because I'm not trusting.
Not trusting me or not trusting you?
Both.
Okay.
We're not confident in ourselves. We're not, it's just, everything is just so much. I just, you know, I don't even know what to say and I'm going to explode and I don't know what's happening. And how are you feeling today? Fine. You know,
That's your trigger.
I'm looking at all the conversations that I've had with people over the past year especially, but I think it's probably been longer than that. But our awareness is heightened, I think, now of everything is just too hard and I don't want to have this conversation. And for me, it feels so much like it's easier to separate. People are feeling like it's easy just to separate and then maybe I'll come back to it, maybe I won't. Or when things calm down over here, then maybe I'll have this hard conversation. Mm. And I think what happens is that then we get separated. And then I always say this in almost everything that I talk about, that if we don't deal with the feelings that are happening in the moment,
yes,
they come out sideways somewhere else. And in my opinion, it's why we have so much road rage. It's why we have so much impatience. Mm-hmm. It's why we're all feeling so on edge and so not able to have the conversations that we just need to have. And if we did have that, if we felt comfortable, if we felt like we were trusting enough to do that, we may be able to get to a place where we can agree to disagree, but still be okay. But then there are also relationships where we not only can agree to disagree, but we never want to have anything to do with you again.
Right.
And that's okay. I mean, I got into a place in a relationship like the divorce where I don't want to have anything to do with my ex-husband again.
But
have
okay.
I forgiven that person? No. Mm-hmm. And that's okay too. But have I gotten to a place where you just go live your life and I'll live mine because I've gotten the feelings out? Yes. So I think the whole importance of one in four people, you know, are estranged or separated, it's mostly we need to look at the people that we are separated from and kind of make a declaration or a determination of, do I need to have a conversation that I'm not willing to have because I'm not ready to let go?
Yeah.
Or have I already let go and how can I make peace within myself? To say, wait a minute, no matter what society is telling me or what other people are telling me, the decision I've made for myself is fine. And it's okay if I haven't actually worked through it all, but it's okay for me to not have contact with this person.
Well, you really touched
on... I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, yeah. And you touched on a key piece, which is the feelings. You mentioned that in these difficult situations, disagreements with loved ones, we're bypassing our feelings. And you've said this my whole life, and you've said this in so many of our episodes, that when we don't tap into the feelings in the moments, they get pushed down and then ultimately come out sideways in a bigger reaction, which reminded me of another stat that we've talked about that's been crucial for our work from Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor, Indiana University alum, who, you know, through her research after having a massive stroke in her 30s, studied and realized that it only takes the body 90 seconds to process a feeling if you actually let the body in its, you know, natural state, the chemicals to flush through the body of a feeling. If you don't engage with it, you're just present to it. Mm-hmm. 90 seconds is nothing. And you think about how we do actually engage in our feelings to perpetuate them, especially disagreement, especially anger and, you know, tension. And so what you're saying is true. When we don't let that process of the feelings go and latch on to them and then not speak on it or act on it, it then, you know, you can see down the road, you start to resent someone, you snap at someone, or you snap at someone that has nothing to do with the situation and you become hyper reactive. You and I were talking before we started recording just about feelings in general and getting to the crux of the feelings for anything, but especially in our relationships is key. So what is it that's at the bottom or at the root of these feelings that we're having in our relationships that's maybe causing us to avoid or make quick judgments to, you know, just detach and not deal with it?
You know, I'll go to a situation that you and I had recently. I think that would be a really good way to explain.
I like when you mine our trauma for the
explain
for the episode.
Explain what I'm feeling. So you and I had a major episode happen in our relationship.
Can I say something?
Yes.
This was a big one, and for everyone that still thinks that maybe we don't fight or we're perfect, we do. And even when we think we've reached a point of healing on a topic, like we've talked about, healing is a journey, not a destination. It's like a whack-a-mole. It pops back up again.
Definitely.
And it's normal.
And I think that it goes to the crux of this episode
yes.
and the idea of hard conversations, because I think what happened for us, we had a major episode happen in our relationship.
And at a very inopportune time.
And when I say major, I mean losing trust.
Yeah.
So it is my opinion and my feelings and my experience that when we start to erode the trust, we shut down. We get quiet. I can't have the hard conversation. I can't, it's not worth it. I don't want to go there. And we're trying to protect ourselves. And so this is what happened for us. The trust started to become eroded for no.
Was there a situation?
In this situation.
I'm trying to paint the picture.
In this situation, the trust was starting to become eroded, but it was happening on the inside.
For you.
For me. So when you start to have that, you start to shut down and you start to feel like, oh my gosh, is this the way the relationship has always been? Is this what's happening? Is this what's going on? So I think what I've determined and what's happened in the whole scheme of it is when we start to lose trust, or when we don't have a boundary that we needed to set, or when we start to feel betrayed, because when trust starts to go away, we start to feel betrayed. Oh my gosh, the stories start to become very clear in the mind that, oh, this isn't the way it was supposed to be. This isn't the way I thought it was supposed to be. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, in our minds.
But your mind.
Yes, in my mind, because I'm the one that's having the relationship, and I'm the one that's
having that experience.
Mistrust. But I was.
Yes.
And this is why when we talk about having the hard conversations, why I think we don't, because we get to a place of fear. I believe strongly that all of those, and I think I've said this in many episodes prior to this, that whenever we have a situation where we feel anger or resentment or any kind of negative feeling, really, at the crux of it or at the root of it is fear. And so I remember coming to you after a day or two and saying to you, Michelle, I am terrified.
Which I have never heard you say that word to me about our relationship before. So that was definitely
terrified.
Put my antenna up.
Yes. And I said, we need to talk about this because I am afraid that our relationship is at a place where we can't trust each other, where there's some betrayal, and I'm terrified. And I think the moment that I identified that I was terrified, this is where I'm going with this whole thing, is that when you identify that you're scared, because being scared is being very vulnerable. It's being very,
yeah.
I'm putting myself out there. I am scared. And my relationship with you is the most important relationship that I have in my life. And it's also one that I love and cherish. And at the root of our relationship is love.
Yeah.
So I'm saying this because when you identify that I'm scared, then you can come back to what is the fear. And what is the fear is that I love you dearly.
Mm-hmm.
And our relationship matters a great deal. So circling back to the very first question that you asked, you know, what is it that makes people separate? What is it that makes you not have the hard conversation? What is it that causes this to happen where we feel that we can't face a disagreement? So we just don't do it at all. I think it's fear. And I think it's important to name the fear in whatever form that's taking in the moment and come back to the place of love.
Yeah.
That we love each other. So if you're having a struggle in a relationship and you can't have the hard conversation, it's really important to maybe take a moment and pause and say, wait a minute, what's happening? Am I being afraid? And what am I afraid of? I'm afraid that the love is being eroded, or I'm afraid that the person isn't who I think they are. Well, they are, but I've separated myself from the love that I have for the person.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is all, you know, making sense.
Yeah.
But it's a really important thing that I'm saying right now, that if we can actually, if it's a person that we genuinely love and care about, because I think we can get to one of two places. We can get to a place where we can work it out and have our differences of opinion and have our place where agree to disagree, but I still love you and I still want to have the most amazing relationship. Or we get to a place where, you know what, I do love you, because I believe once you really have loved someone deeply, you can still have some of that love there. But I think it's best if we part ways.
Right. Well, like we talked about in the last episode, love doesn't just go away. It just transforms.
And then you're okay with it because you're at a place where I've had the conversation and it's not coming out sideways, because I've actually come to a conclusion, or I've come to a place that makes it okay with me and hopefully makes it okay with the other person. But it's not my responsibility for the other person to be okay.
Yeah. I have a few.
Well,
I have a few follow-ups.
Well,
to
I have
that.
A question for you. What has changed in our relationship as mother-daughter? Is there one thing that you can say that has changed that has helped you be able to set boundaries or be able to have me sometimes come across as wanting to control you or wanting to tell you what to do or wanting to be or being irritated with something that you've done without it turning into a whole full-blown
disagreement?
Or full-blown, you know, a whole week-long thing that we have to try to forgive each other for?
Yeah. No, that's a good question. And, you know, piggybacking off of what you just described, there was a few pieces from my vantage point to paint the picture. What has changed for us in our adult relationship now, and it is super interesting to feel the shift and to be conscious of the shift between a young child and a parent, and then two adults who are still mother and daughter, you know, whereas you're, and again, we've talked about this in another episode, but where you're not my protector and my teacher and, you know, guiding me, but now we're more on equal playing field. And I think that that dynamic has really come up in some of our disagreements as adults because the dynamic has shifted. But I think something that really helped that particular situation that you're talking about is, yes, this disagreement was pretty extended. I would say it went on for quite a few days. What I think kept it together or kept us together is sparse throughout the time. We allowed ourselves to be normal, like live our lives and not totally disconnect from everything else that was happening around us. You know, I said it was an inopportune time for that fight to happen because we had like a million things on our plate, work, personal, everything. And so it is actually the perfect example of why I think these separations are happening, because in any other situation, it could have been like, I'm done. Like you said, I don't have room on my plate to handle this. There's too much going on. And so throughout the week, you know, we kind of acknowledged to each other like, yeah, we're in a weird place right now. It's a little uncomfortable. It's not yet sorted, but you and I both can agree that we love each other, that we want to sort it out, that we care about the relationship, and that we're not just going to throw it away.
And how do you think that is how we kept the resentment from building? How do you think resentment?
I think so.
You know, keeps from building and building and building, because sometimes if you don't address something head on right away, and I think that's why I love this conversation. There are so many different ways to address hard conversations, but I think the key is the hard conversation has to be addressed. That's the bottom line of this whole conversation. It has to be addressed.
Feeling healthy, energized, and good about ourselves from the inside out are things that we all desire, but don't always know how to put it into practice. I know firsthand on my own health journey, I've often felt frustrated, confused, and overwhelmed about what to trust, what to believe, and what to do to optimize my health. I've often felt like I've been doing everything right, eating well, exercising, and yet still not experiencing the life that I'm looking for. My energy's been low. I've had mood swings. I've had brain fog. And I've been wondering, where am I going wrong? Which is where Happy Mammoth comes in. I know firsthand how much stress can mess with your hormones and how much hormones can impact our daily health. Happy Mammoth offers a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. You just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part, after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the hormone quiz and I absolutely loved learning more about the insights, about the information, about where I'm at now in my life and what I could be doing to help optimize my health and balance my hormones. Happy Mammoth is a company that created Hormone Harmony and is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Happy Mammoth offers a range of products designed to help you feel like yourself again. And with personalized recommendations from the quiz, you'll know exactly where to start. So ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today and find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you'll also get 15% off your entire first order with our code BARBKNOWSBEST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BARBKNOWSBEST for 15% off today. Do you remember when I talked about True Diagnostics True Age Test? Well, I took that test myself and the results absolutely blew my mind. By taking the test, I found out my biological age, which directly predicts my risk for serious diseases. And here's why that matters. Research shows that if your biological age is even 5 years older than your actual age, your risk of developing diseases like cancer or heart disease can jump by as much as 30 to 50%, which is huge and completely avoidable. The good news is nearly 90% of biological aging is in your hands. Of course, it's driven by things like lifestyle, habits, and the environment you're in, but you do still have a lot of control. I took the True Age test and I just learned so much about my health, wellness, and what I can do to be more in control of how I feel and how I'm aging. The test didn't just give me a number, it showed me how quickly my heart, brain, liver, and immune system are aging, which of course was eye-opening. The best thing is the test itself is super easy and convenient. I did it from home, no doctor visit or big needles, just a quick, painless finger prick. You send that tiny sample off in a prepaid package, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you'll get a detailed online report about your aging and your health. Fast and hassle-free. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to truediagnostic.com and use our code BARBKNOWSBEST to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's truediagnostic.com and use code BARBKNOWSBEST at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you.
Live on DAZN Worldwide.
Saudi Arabia.
Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern. Canelo versus Skull. The king stakes his legacy once more for the undisputed crown. Standing in his way is Warrior Skull, undefeated and poised to decimate the division on a knockout weekend of boxing.
Let's make history.
Get Canelo versus Skull, Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern, live exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com.
So how do you think we kept the resentment from building?
I would say that this was like a piecemeal peace agreement. So the incident was you had overheard something I had said that you felt like it was a betrayal to you, to someone else. So it was like, I honor your feelings and that you were hurt, but it was like a taking something out of context kind of situation. But you had thought, I could see your reaction, but you heard something that I said to someone, you were hurt by it. You felt betrayed. Trust was chipped away. Never thought that you would ever have to have this kind of situation with me because we are so strong and, you know, in a good place. So very new situation for us. Complicated situation. So we have like the incident. So I think there was like peaks and valleys of the tension. Like first entry into it, high tension. And then, you know, we come back down and take space. We'll talk about it again tomorrow. Remind each other that we're on the same page. We need to work this out. It wasn't like we knew we needed to figure it out in one conversation. It was so layered. It was so complicated. There were so many feelings. I had so many feelings about what you were coming to me about the, you know, the incident. It wasn't going to be solved in one conversation.
And I just want to interrupt you because I think it's important that that phase in the beginning for people to understand there was a lot of disrespect going on.
On both sides.
On both sides.
You can see it's still, spicy still.
Oh, no, not at all. What I want people to understand that you're not just, when you're having the really hard conversation, which we're talking about, there's going to be some things that are said or there's going to be some feelings that come out because we are so, when you're actually committed to feeling the feelings and wanting to work it out, that's kind of where I'm going with this. You're going to say something that might be disrespectful. You're going to say something that might not bring the peace at the end. And there has to be an element, especially if it's in this 1 in 4. You're saying that 1 in 4, which is a mother, daughter, or mother, son, or father, son, or sister, or somebody really close to you. And we all have this happening right now. And I believe the energy in our country, in our world, is so on high alert all the time. So we're actually feeling that too. So it comes forth. So I'm going with that, with the disrespect, because we've done a big episode on disrespect, and it's kind of the number one thing that people ask us about all the time, because disrespect is at an all-time high, I believe, that might happen.
Yeah.
And you're not a bad person for it happening, and you haven't lost it all, and you're not thrown to the curb, and that the relationship isn't over. Oh my gosh. You have to really have the energy not to take it personally.
Yeah.
That we're in a heated situation, that sometimes it's going to get so heated that there could be some disrespect. And the most important thing that I think you and I have always done is, if not in the moment, and I think in that moment, because I got the most disrespectful, in that moment, I said, I'm so sorry that I have been disrespecting you. I am really hurting and I need to take a break.
Yes.
So it's kind of like...
I can accept that.
So I'm trying to help you see that you can't disown what's happening. I know I'm getting worked up a little bit because I'm so passionate about it's okay. We are human beings and you're gonna say something.
Yeah.
So don't try to pretend like you didn't, and don't try to pretend like it didn't feel that way. And just be okay with it and don't beat yourself up and be regretful of it, but also don't attack the other person. Well, you deserved it. Well, I didn't really disrespect you because it's what was needed. Like, just kind of own it in the moment and just say, okay, I did disrespect you.
Yeah.
And let's take a break because I need it.
Comic, relief here, because we are two Scorpios who can be pretty stubborn. I wish you all could have seen one particular aspect of this argument, because we were like 10 toes down, like, no, I will stand on what I said, even though it was disrespectful. And you were like, no, and I will stand on what I said too. And we knew we were being hurtful, but we did not want to back down in that particular moment. And thinking back on it, it's kind of funny. Humor, laughter is the best medicine. But I think in our conversations together about this disagreement, keeping in mind the 1 in 4 stat of estrangement, keeping in mind for us that we really have no other family, we are all each other have, you brought up the piece that was really interesting to me, that was feeding your fear of, when you said you're terrified, you were terrified that this situation was going to break us up and that then we were really going to be alone, that we really were going to have no one left. And like, I could feel that fear from you. So how did you deal with that fear? And do you still have any of those feelings now?
That's a great question. I dealt with it by taking the pause, because I had gotten to a place of feeling so strongly about everything that I was feeling, all of the things. And when I named it that I was terrified, that was kind of the end for me in that moment. And I think it's important to be able to know that if you're at a place where you're emotionally done for a moment, knowing that it's just for a moment. And so that was huge. And in thinking, I have a huge reflection practice. I reflect all the time. I'm always reflecting back on, okay, what happened? What just happened? How am I feeling? What action do I want to take next? So that in thinking about that, the greatest feeling that came over me was that I love you, that we have a very strong, amazing relationship at its core, that this is a road bump, that's a big road bump, because we hadn't been in this place ever. I can't ever remember a time where I have felt terrified of our relationship. And what is it that is causing all of this? And what is it that I can do differently? How can I actually now do differently now that I've got my feelings out? Because I believe that other stat that Jill Bolte Taylor says, like, if we can get our feelings out and just naming it, 90% of naming the feeling, the other it dissolves.
Dan Siegel, Name It to Tame It.
Yeah, Dan Siegel, Name It to Tame It. It dissolves. It truly does work that way, mm-hmm. that it dissolves. We can kind of then take a deep breath. Okay, this is what's going on. And so when I think about our relationship, I'm not trying to control you. I don't want to tell you what to do. We're now on an equal playing field, as you said. So when I think about our relationship, the most important thing in my life is, as a mother and daughter, is I want you to be happy. Mm-hmm. I want you to be self-confident. I want you to be courageous. I want you to have all the things and feeling comfortable in your own skin and being exactly who you are. All of those things. I don't want someone who's not able to stand up to me or not able to stand up to life or doesn't have their own identity and know that who they are is who they're meant to be. So all those things, I start thinking about all those things. And that's what was happening in this situation.
That's the foundation.
That's the foundation. So when I come back to that foundation, that's what I really want. Everything else can be worked out.
That's a great
everything
point.
Everything else we can find a middle ground. The trust isn't all eroded. In that moment, I felt betrayed. And I had a different perspective of what was happening than you did. But at the bottom line of it is, I kind of like the idea that you have a different perspective. And I have a different perspective because you are your own person.
Yeah.
So I think in saying all that, for me, it's been very important that I not be so enmeshed and attached to you, that you are me and I am you.
Yeah.
I think that was from that movie Across the Universe. Or that Beatles song,
yeah.
That you are your own person. And I'm really proud of the fact that you have grown into an adult who is her own person.
Yeah.
And so I like the disagreement, or I like the, we can agree to disagree. You didn't feel it was betrayal, I did. And that's fine. It's just a naming of something.
I'm not in denial that you feel betrayed.
Oh, no. But I mean, your intention wasn't.
Yeah.
Your intention wasn't that.
But I'm not saying that that didn't happen.
No, I understand that. But your intention wasn't that. So I feel like that when you can have the courage, you know, Brené Brown says this so often that, you know, making sure that the people that you're keeping in your life and in your circle for the long haul, that you actually do trust.
Have earned your trust.
And have earned your trust. And that you can have these hard conversations with, knowing that in the end, what matters most, which is what I said a few minutes ago, is that it's the love and really the pride that we can have. Even in I remember when my friend Mary died, we had a real big disagreement before she died, like 6 months or so before. And I remember we got through it really quickly because I love her so much.
Yeah.
And I care about her so much. And I know that I can trust her and I can have the courage to say things, and we're going to have arguments. We're going to have those conversations that are really, really difficult.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Does that,
yes.
I hope that is conveyed in the feelings that I have, that it's not easy. And there are only a handful of people that we have in our life like that. So not thinking that we're going to have a million of these people or even 20 of these people.
Yeah.
But if you have that person that for the most part have earned your trust, and that you can be brave with, and that you can be vulnerable with, it's worth having the hard conversation.
Yeah.
It's worth not allowing that 1 in 4 separation to endure.
So it's interesting about what you just said. And, you know, we've worked with a lot of high school students in our, you know, work, and even college students, and hearing about, and you have a lot of friends who are parents of, you know, kids at that age, of just how to connect and to how to maintain that relationship and feel like you're there for them so that, you know, you're not separated from your children, especially during, you know, those prime times of growing up. It really sounds like, based on what you said, that starting with that strong foundation of the core values or desires in the relationship, like you said, you want me to be happy and fulfilled and self-confident and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you've expressed that to me. So it's like we start from that common ground of knowing that about each other. And of course, I have those feelings for you too. I mean, it goes both ways kind of thing. But I think when you're in a disagreement or a hard conversation, you might think otherwise. You know, the thoughts might fuel or feed that, oh, this person doesn't care about me, or any of those things, especially when I'm younger, as a teenager, we had plenty of those conversations. But I think having the foundation and reinforcing it often within your relationships. That is a big piece for us. We reinforce with each other that we care about each other, that we are a priority to each other. I think that reinforcement, even when times are good, fortifies that foundation so that when times get rocky, you know, you can come back to it and say, okay, whatever is going on might be a little crazy or I might have a lot of feelings about it, but I know deep down that this is where we live and that that's a safe space. And I think that that's important. And it's been really helpful for us. The second piece that I wanted to share is I've never felt more than in this situation just how fascinating it is as, like, you know, humans in general, how different our perspectives can be, even when we're, you know, in the same room viewing something at the same time. You and I sitting here right now, I'm looking at you, you're looking at me, you know, we're in this room together, we're seeing the same things, but we can have totally different perceptions of this exact moment. And I think that that's so true for everyone. I think a lot of our judgments and emotions and feelings and miscommunications come from the fact that just as human beings in general, even in a benign situation that, like right now, we can have different perceptions of reality. And for me, in coming to terms with our disagreements, but just life in general, knowing how divided we are, knowing how tense everything is right now, it helps me in remembering that this basic fact about humans and humanity is that the lens with which we view life is different and unique to all of us. And if I can just start to accept that, that also creates some of that space for grace and understanding, because I'm seeing my life through my lens and you're seeing life through yours.
Yes. And I think the takeaways from that for me, and listening to everything that you just said and thinking about how heated our conversation got to the point of some disrespect, there are several things that I want to say about that for people listening. That the first one is it's going to get heated sometimes, and not trying to push that away, but also knowing how to manage it. So when things get heated, taking that pause.
Yeah.
Like just saying, and not judging and not trying to fix it in the moment or not trying to blame or not trying to bypass the disrespect or any of that. Just like, wait a minute, it's getting heated right now. Let me take a pause and let me come back to it is crucial. It is crucial because that helped me then look at everything. But look at what was happening. Look at how I was reacting. Look at what my feelings were and all the things that I've already talked about. But a critical piece of that is what you just said about perception. It's why we talk about constantly, and I am so grounded in this, that we can't take what other people say and do personally.
Yeah.
Your perception is your perception. So when we're in a heated argument or we're in a hard conversation that went to a heated argument, what's the next thing we can do is take the pause.
Yeah.
So we take the pause. We took the pause. It was nighttime, woke up the next morning, and I'm thinking about it. I'm reflecting, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, I am not an extension of you, and you are not an extension of me. And I think we make that mistake in our human relationships. You are not me, and I am not you. And I think we do. We as people, we expect you to understand, and you just disrespect me. We expect it to be that way. So we have to really not, if we can truly not take it personally and say, okay, this was your perception, as you use that word, this is my perception. How can we find some middle ground here? How can I be accepting of what you're feeling, and how can you be accepting of what I'm feeling? And I feel like, and you could elaborate here if you want to with this question, but how can we go through the hard conversation or the difficult conversation and get through the disrespect or get through the harsh words or the differences of opinion that are probably going to stay? We may still always have that same difference of opinion.
Yeah.
But how can we move through it and still be loving, caring, and not still have the feelings of resentment? For me, resentment is something that can kind of linger in the body and in the mind. How can we actually let it go? And for me, it's been that I allow you to be who you are. And it's okay if you don't agree with me.
Yeah.
And it's okay if you don't like it.
That is the epitome of agree to disagree.
And for me not to, I don't want to say not to care, because I don't mean that in a non-caring, loving kindness kind of a way. I mean it in, I don't have to fix it because you don't agree with me. And I don't have to convince you.
Yeah, and I don't have
to
convince you.
So how do we stop that? How do we stop the need to convince? How do we stop the need as a mother? Many mothers I've talked to, they're not okay with their children, or they're not okay, especially with their daughter, not agreeing with or not being on the same page, because I think there's that entanglement.
Yeah.
So we don't want to completely separate, but we don't want to be entangled.
Yeah.
So how do we work through that feeling of, I'm just fine if you don't agree with me, because I'm feeling rock solid in my feelings and how I feel, but they're not going to interfere with our relationship. It doesn't really matter.
Right. I think it's that repetition of what you can agree on and what is the cornerstone or the bedrock of the situation or of the relationship. You might not, I mean, you and I don't agree on a lot of things, not just in this situation, but in life in general, because we're not the same person. We have different viewpoints, different lived experiences, and that's totally okay. We can agree to disagree on a lot, but we do remember and prioritize again what we do agree on as that central piece of our relationship, of the values and the trust and the prioritization of this relationship. And we remind each other of that. And I think as I'm not a parent, but I think as parents, as being a child to someone, hearing that and just knowing that that's what's at the center, everything else can come and go. You know, the petty fights, the disagreements, the heated exchanges, those can come and go. But I know that what's at the center is solid, like you said, and this won't change that. That's what I think builds confidence in kids, in teenagers, to know that they can't mess it up. And you would always say that to me. Nothing you can do will take away how I feel about you or change my love for you. And it's just knowing that is everything. Everything else is fine. And so I think for anyone that's, you know, struggling with this, for me, the key takeaways here are establishing, you know, the foundation of a relationship, having the conversations, but giving yourself space to process your feelings and really processing your feelings. And knowing that sometimes difficult situations, they might take a long time to get, like, it doesn't have to be sorted in the moment, and being okay with that. There's no quick fixes in life. Boundaries are a huge piece. You respect my boundaries, I respect yours. And when we need to take space, we allow it for each other. But I think just reminding the people in your life that you care about, that you want to maintain, even if you're going through a difficult time, we are not in the same space right now, but I love you and I care about you, and that will never change. To me, that's everything.
Approaching the conversation with love and compassion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And I think in listening to what you just said, the whole feeling and the whole embodiment of knowing, I'll say again, having that love and compassion, but also knowing and feeling like you can be who you are,
yeah,
gives you the space. And I think as a mother, and I think about my childhood, not having that at all, and then coming into motherhood, wanting to give that to you. But the greatest gift that I can give you is allowing you to feel vulnerable, is allowing you to be who you are and still love you. And like, there's nothing that can ever change that. And when you know that that is the truth.
Yeah.
So as a mother, I want to always make sure you know that, because that is the deep truth within me. You can be vulnerable.
Yeah.
You can have the ability to grow into the person that you are becoming. But we also, as adults, like I am the mother, I am also growing into the person that I'm becoming.
Yeah.
So I think there's a way here, as mother, daughter, as friends, as family members, as all of that, if we actually give people the permission, not only to be who they are, but to also grow and become and make mistakes and say things that they don't mean or say things that we don't wish that we hadn't said, and being okay then to move forward with that without the baggage of carrying it forward. And I think one of the things that for me, which makes all the difference in the world, is knowing that I can be vulnerable with the people that I know that I can trust and have a sense of connection with. I can be vulnerable and I can stay present to what is happening in the moment, knowing that tomorrow, even though all of this stuff may have gone down, the love still is there.
Yep.
And the compassion still is there. And so I can be vulnerable and continue to grow. And the final thing that I might say about this is saying I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I post this quite a bit on my social media. Like, I'm sorry means change behavior.
Yep.
And so that doesn't mean you're not going to make a mistake again. I always like to clarify that. So in the caption, I always say, it doesn't mean you're going to be perfect.
Right.
But saying I'm sorry as an adult, as a mother, I know there are so many maybe mothers out there. I know there are so many adults out there that it's really hard to say, I'm sorry.
It is.
And I know when we were working with teenagers, that was one of the biggest things that the teenager said to us. My mom doesn't want to say that she said she's sorry for something, or like she's right
admit
and I'm
fault.
Wrong. Like there's a fault. You're the problem, or you're the issue, or all of that, which kind of brings a roadblock into ever really having the harder conversations. Yeah. You don't want to build that wall.
Yeah.
That I can't go past that wall because I can't be vulnerable. I think I say it quite often.
You do.
Because I like to know that I'm not crazy. That's a big word of mine from my childhood. I like to know that it's okay to make a mistake. I'm a perfectionist, so that's a big deal for me. And I want you to feel like it is okay and I as a human can say I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a big piece for sure, is being able to admit and to acknowledge and to say it. It is helpful for the person on the receiving end and for the person saying it. And I'm glad you brought that up.
And it doesn't make you weak. And it doesn't make you like not a strong person. I think it's the opposite. You know,
yeah.
I would love to start a revolution or a movement towards saying I'm sorry and being vulnerable is actually an act of courage.
Yep. I agree.
Having love as the foundation of relationships is actually an act of courage, because then we can feel more vulnerable. And then being vulnerable and getting our heart broken is actually an act of courage as we move through it. Like being brave means doing all these hard things.
I love that, Mom. Thanks for starting the revolution of vulnerability and confidence and love.
Yeah, well, I think when you started the conversation with that stat,
yeah,
1 in 4, it's kind of heartbreaking a little bit. But I get it, because I'm one of those 1 in 4. I've got that happening in my life as well. And so how do we just start looking at the relationships that mean the most to us?
Yeah.
And seeing how we can find the common ground.
Yeah, and doing the things sometimes when it's hard, having the conversations that we need to have to strengthen those connections and to maintain those relationships that are important to us, so that we can still feel loved and cared for in a, you know, often very disconnected world. So thank you for teaching that to me in my life and in my childhood, and of course teaching it for all of us, but also being so open to talking about this. We could have not had this conversation and that would have probably been the easier route. So I'm really grateful for you to be open to dissecting her personal life for podcast episodes. But also thank you for being so open and honest and vulnerable with us.
I would share one more thing as a mother. You know, we want our children to be happy. I want Michelle, I want nothing more than for you to be happy. And as I said earlier, you know, comfortable in your own skin. And I want to say something that I believe is so true. I might even cry. Our daughters, our sons, our children, even our close family members, possibly, I don't want to speak for that universally, but I do want us to be happy.
Yeah.
I think I know that you want me to be happy. You want nothing more than for me to be happy. And I saw that play out when I went through that, when I went through my divorce last year.
Yeah.
So remember that as a parent. Remember that we want our children to be happy. They want us to be happy as well.
Yeah.
And
goes
that's
both
a
ways.
Real equalizing thing that, well, there is a place where you're not me and I'm not you. You are actually your own strong, brave human. And so am I, because you want the same thing for me.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love
Thank
that,
you.
Mom. And I love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your vulnerability.
You too. Love you.
I love you.
Thanks for joining us on this ride. We're so glad you're here with us. Life's full of unexpected twists, and we're all in it together. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to like and subscribe to Life Happens wherever you listen.
Maybe share this with a friend who could use a reminder that we're all just sorting it out one step at a time. Drop your questions in the comments. We'd love to hear from you and might just dive into them in a future episode.
And if you're looking for daily inspiration, keep an eye out for my book, Dear Friend, coming this fall. It's a 365-day collection of love notes, reminders, and takeaways, and affirmations that can speak to any stage of life. A perfect little boost whenever you need it.
Until next time, keep embracing the chaos, keep learning through the mess, and most importantly, keep riding the waves of life. See you next week, friends.
Live on DAZN Worldwide.
Saudi Arabia.
Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern. Canelo versus Skull. The king stakes his legacy once more for the undisputed crown. Standing in his way is Warrior Skull, undefeated and poised to decimate the division on a knockout weekend of boxing.
Let's make history.
Get Canelo versus Skull, Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern, live exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.